Good morning, Bridge City Church, White Oak Campus. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet or introduce myself, my name's Nick Stepanovic. Some call me Pastor Nick. Some call me PN. Some call me something else, which I'll get to later. But I just want to welcome you here. I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here worshiping God and praising His name. And I say it every week, there's literally no place I would rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name, obviously this side of heaven. But listen, this is heaven practice. This is heaven practice. And just got to speak with some people that they had family members that are have passed on to their reward in heaven. And just getting a glimpse this morning of what those people are experiencing. What those people are celebrating. They get to be a part of the greatest worship experience that we'll ever get to see. But today we get to have some practice for that. And we're continuing our series today entitled, What's the Point? And how many of you have ever said that or asked that question? What's the point? What's the point of this? What's the purpose of this? Why am I going through this? The questions that we ask are so vitally important in our life. And we ask good questions. It pushes us forward. And today our question is, what's the point of prayer? You know, we all have, when you hear prayer, you all get something that you think of right off the bat. You know, when we said we were praying for people today, some of you panic, like, I want to go up there, but I'm scared to go up there. What if they actually hear from God and they know what I'm going through? Some of you are like, we're praying, I'm getting in that line. I can never have too much prayer. But some of you have this negative connotation of prayer because there are people that you've told things to and they're like, I'll pray for you. And then nothing. There are people in this world that say, listen, you have my thoughts. And it feels really hollow and empty. And then there's people in this world that say, I'm sending you positive vibes. What does that even mean? I'm sending good vibes for you and your family. When I hear somebody say good vibes, all I hear is like, am I going to a rave or am I going to church? Are you believing for better for my family and I and for God to show up? Or are we glow sticking it? There's a lot of things that we think about prayer, and we're going to unpack that today. And my goal is to get you more comfortable with prayer. Now, I know there were a lot of people this week that you saw our social media post about the merch giveaway, and you started praying instantly. Oh, I hope I win. You liked it. You followed the church. You shared it. And you're like, oh, if I could just win. If I could, oh, Lord, please. I need a new hoodie. It's sweater weather. We're going to get this out of the way quick and early. Crystal Bradley, you are our winner of the merch giveaway at the second worship experience. Come on up here, Crystal. Keep clapping for her. Listen, this is not a golden ticket. This is your white ticket, and it says it's redeemable for one item at the merch store. So I'm praying and believing that there's hoodies left. Because that's the most expensive thing out there. So get a hoodie, okay? And wear it with pride. And when you have that hoodie on or that t-shirt on or you have anything on that represents the kingdom of God, make sure you're being an example of Jesus, okay? If you're going to get angry or frustrated or let your McKee sport come out, just put another sweatshirt on over top of it. Feel me? Crystal, we love and appreciate you. Go have fun, okay? Sarah, she can't go shopping now, right? No, she can't. It's closed. What do you want, Crystal? A hoodie? Is there a hoodie left for Crystal?
What size?
Whoa! Extra small! Only another woman could ask another woman that question. Let's pray. I didn't ask. I asked what she wanted, a hoodie. She screamed it. What's the point? David Hawk, somebody who I love and appreciate, and I'm so honored and privileged to know that he's where he lived his life to be. He's with Jesus. He taught me so much about prayer. and the importance of it. He was somebody that modeled prayer. We were standing right over there at the connection point one Sunday, and somebody came up to him and said, "Will you pray for me?" And he looked at them and said, "I will pray for you right now, but I cannot put you on my list to continually pray for you every day. Are we good with that?" And they're like, yeah, absolutely. And they walked away after we prayed. And I said, "David, why did you say that?" And he's like, "Because when I put somebody on my prayer list, they stay there. I go to war for them. I battle for them. I plead the blood of Jesus over their life and what they're seeking him for." And he's like, "And I my list is full right now." I was like, man, that's like spiritual gangster right there. And I started to look up to him in so many ways. I started to understand that these cliches that our world gives, Jesus never gave those. Jesus is real. Jesus was honest. Jesus modeled how we're supposed to live as sons and daughters of the King. So what's the point of prayer? What's the point? First and foremost, it brings the presence of peace. His peace will flood our hearts, our minds, our homes, our families, our friends. This presence that he gives us brings peace to our lives. And I don't know about you, but I need as much peace as I can get. And I'm not just talking about it. I want to live in it. I want to walk in it. I want us to experience it. I want this to be a place that when people walk in here, they sense his presence and peace. They might not even know what it is, but we get to point to him and he gets the glory. We live in a really unpeaceful world right now. We can be examples of peace. Listen, gas is going to continue to go up. That doesn't dictate your joy level and your peace. Groceries are, you know, my favorite mints, Altoids, Arctic Blasts, the little tin. If you haven't had them, they're the greatest mint in the world. I apologize for getting you addicted to them, okay? The blue can, not the teal can. The teal can is garbage. They were $8 for an 8-pack. On Amazon. You know how much they are now? Take a guess. 21 something. But my peace didn't change. My joy level didn't change. There's things that are going to change all around you, but he doesn't change. What's the other point of prayer? Number three. They're like, wait a second, they're bullet points. There's not numbers up there. I put numbers in my mind. Provision. He provides for you. He is a good, good father. And fathers provide. Now listen, Lennon doesn't always get what he wants, but he gets what he needs. Rachel and I will always provide for him in different ways, in different stages of his life. We're the same way as God's children. And when we speak to him, when we talk to him, we get to see who he is as a father. We get to see that. Last bullet point here is we get to walk in the power of Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm a big guy. Well, I'm half the man I used to be, but I'm naturally strong. But I remember a prophetic word that was spoken over me over a decade ago that God wants nothing to do with your natural strength. He wants everything to do with his supernatural strength working through you. And when you pray that, I want to walk in his power. I want to walk in his might. I want to walk in the victory that he's given us. It changes you. And how does this all happen? Prayer. Speaking with your Father in heaven. Now, I've spoken to a majority of you. Some of you, I've had long conversations with you on the phone, or Rachel and I have met with you at the church or at our home, and I know that everybody in this room can speak. Right? Right. Well, Brooke and TJ decided to do like nonverbal communication. But they can speak. I've heard them talk. I've heard Nick and Jess talk. I've heard Javon talk. I've heard Dave and Linda speak. Why do we think that we can't pray the same way? It's just a conversation with your dad. I've had the pleasure and honor of walking with some amazing, amazing men. And one of them was Pastor Larry's father, Larry Sr. And I got to spend a lot of time with him, and a lot of time with him towards the end of his life. And one of the things that he just spoke to me and affirmed in me is that he wanted nothing more than time with people, his family, his friends, his grandkids. Time was the most valuable thing that he had. And that was a father speaking. Imagine the way God looks at us as his children. He doesn't just want some of your time. He wants all of it. He wants every bit of your time. And he doesn't want you to walk in the misconceptions of prayer. One of the biggest misconceptions of prayer is you have to be a prayer warrior. All the ladies in here, you got to be like Xena, the warrior princess. This is how you pray. You got a gold ring frisbee prayer thing. You throw it. Here it comes. There she is. That's Xena. Never watched the show, but I heard she was a warrior. We think that we have to be this huge giant in prayer. No, we just got to have time with our dad. We just have to talk with him. We have to have peace with him. We have to have an understanding that we shouldn't just go to our Father in heaven in crisis. Prayer is not just a crisis supplication. Prayer is an everyday life source. Crisis brings us to the need of prayer. But I want us to live in a place of talking with our dad. You know, everybody talks about keeping prayer in schools. We got to keep prayer in schools. As long as there's tests, there will be prayer in our schools. We just got to pray for a deeper sense of it. I don't know about you all. Did you all test well? I didn't test well. At like ninth grade, I stopped testing well. I think it was because I stopped taking books home. But there might have been a correlation. And then math started having shapes and stuff. Matthew 6, 5 through 8. When you pray. Everybody say, when you pray. It doesn't say if. It does not say if. It says when. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. Be the same person you are at church that you are at home. Be the same person at home that you are in your community. Be the same person in your community that you are at work. And I want to brag on somebody right now. What I do for one, I can't do for all. And this person, I gave him a heads up that this was happening, but I don't think he believed me. Vari, come up here, man. Come on, Vari. You can clap for him as he walks up. This is a brother of mine in Christ, and we also were brothers before Christ. Okay, we've been there. Okay, this is Travaris Rowe. His friends and family call him Vari. And Vari is the same person at Stash Account Fashion that he is at church. He's the same person at church that he is within his community. And this man is somebody that never wants honor, never wants praise, never wants anything. But this man is changing a community one person at a time. Okay? And we're going to unite with him and do something that I'm so excited to do. Because he's always showing up. This man will show up. And he'll show out. And he'll stand on business for everybody. But I want to unite with him in his heart for his community. Can we do that? Yeah. All right, well, here, you're going to get ready to put your money where your mouth is, okay? We're going to serve alongside Vari for a trunk or treat that he does for his community. At Crawford Village, okay, we're going to bring cars. We're going to talk about candy donations. Pastor Larry's going to do a great job of talking about candy donations. He used it. We need bait for the hook. Okay, we got the hook. You guys got the bait. Bring candy. But for Vari's trunk or treat, which is on October 29th, it's a Wednesday, from 6:30 to 8 p.m., we need trunks. We need people that are going to be desired to show up and show out for a community that needs loved and encouraged and empowered and equipped. We're going to show up. Now, What does this look like? It looks like I want Vari to be so overwhelmed by the people that are surrounding him that don't even know him, because there's a bunch of people that know him that have never showed up. Last year, they had three cars. Three. Come on. Okay. So the McKeesport High School one, we'll talk more about that. We're showing up as the Bridge City students and as Bridge City Church. We're going to give invites to a movie thing coming up. But this one on Wednesday, I want you to get a car. How many got a trunk? Okay. I don't care what you put on. You could put I love Jesus on the trunk. But we're gonna invest in a community. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, you know what Vari looks like. So if you have any questions, get to Vari or get to Sarah at the connection point. Here we go. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. Here we go. Everybody say, but when. Not but if, but when. Now, but and if are two of my favorite words in the Bible, because it usually means that something is changing or something's about to change. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. What will he reward you with? There's not going to be a money tree that shows up in your backyard. There's not going to be an overflowing ATM that shows up in your kitchen. He's going to reward you with a peace and a presence and a purpose. He's going to reward you with a perspective that will change your life, your family's life, and your friends' lives. He's going to reward you with the ability to change the world around you. Not the world, your world. That's the reward. Sorry, it's like a reward. Remember that? Yeah. It's not like one, it is one. He will reward you. When you pray, don't just babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. There's some misconceptions about prayer that keep us stuck. There's some things about prayer that are lies that keep us from moving forward in our prayer life. The first one, that prayer is just about getting what I want. Wrong. It is not about getting what you want. It is about seeking him and him giving you the right application for what you're going through. It's about seeking him and understanding that you're casting your cares, your worries, your concerns upon him, and you're submitting to his leadership and his guidance. You're saying, you are Lord, you're in control. That's what you're doing. You're not just waiting for you to get what you want. Lennon doesn't always get what he wants from his dad, but he gets what he needs. It's the same thing with us and our Heavenly Father. Here's another misconception that we all have, and there's scriptural context for each of you. You could take a picture of the slide, go home and read together, but prayer has to sound spiritual or formal. This is what really got me stuck early on in my walk. I can't pray as eloquently as that person, or I don't have the right words like that person, Oh man, the power that's in their prayer. God must listen to them because of the way that they speak. One of the people that I used to do that with is in the room right now. He's an elder of our church, Matthew Klingensmith. He has a great group on Friday morning, 6:30 a.m. It's growing and growing and growing. And the thing is I used to compare myself to Matt in so many ways because he could pray the paint off the walls. And I was worried about how I take the plane off. I was like, do I say Daddy God? Do I say Papa? What do I say, Dear Heavenly Father? Do I start it out like a diary quote, like, Dear God, today I woke up. Like, what do I say? I wrestled with that for months. I finally landed on Father God. That's what I landed on. That's what I went with. And I've stuck with it. I actually took that from Matt and from Joe Perrini. It was somebody else I compared myself to in so many ways. I want him to know that I see him as Father because I struggle with me relating to God early on in my walk. I related to him like I related to my natural father. And all of us do that. I don't know if your father was present when you were being raised or if you even knew your dad, but when you meet God, you relate to him the way you've related to your natural father. And you need to break that. So I wanted him to know he's my dad. What he says goes, and I'm going to trust him. So Father God is always how I open. That's just where I landed. You need to land where you could say, Daddy, Father, God in heaven. I just want you to say something. I want you to talk. One of my favorite prayers I ever heard was from a man who had just met Jesus, and he was so on fire for the Lord. And we were praying in the back of the North Braddock campus, and he was praying with fire. And he said, you devil, you son of a... And he said it. And I mean, he's not wrong. Keep going, man. Like, but he wasn't scared to just step out and pray. And he was allowing for the fire that God placed within him to come out. Now, he apologized later. He's like, I don't know where that came from. That just came out. He's like, but he's a jerk. That enemy's a jerk. I was like, yeah, we got you, man. We heard it loud and clear. I think a lot of people heard it. Yeah, okay. But it doesn't need to be formal. It doesn't need to be over-spiritualized. It needs to be you having a conversation with your dad. If God doesn't answer quickly, God's not listening. Wrong. God's timing is not your timing. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. If he doesn't answer right away, maybe he's waiting for you to do the last thing he told you to do. Whoa. He told you to be obedient in this area, and you've continued to walk in disobedience. He told you to start giving more of your time, and you've been disobedient in that. Maybe you need to go back before he answers your next prayer, or he gives you guidance for your next thing. Start walking in the direction that he gave you. The delayed answer means that God does not, it doesn't mean that God doesn't care. It doesn't mean that he's not real. It means that he cares a lot. And he wants you to be ready for the answer. If God would have told me 20 years ago, hey, you're going to be a pastor, you're going to have to lead all these amazing people in White Oak and the surrounding areas, and you are going to, you know, eventually go to 3 worship experiences, you're going to have to show up to church on Sunday morning with a flashlight because it's still dark out, I would have been like, yeah. Father Poppy God, no. He doesn't reveal everything to you at once because a lot of times you won't ante up. You won't ante up if he reveals everything. Piece by piece by piece by piece. Prayer is a one-way conversation. Wrong. I speak with my wife every day. Say good job again.
Good job.
Yeah. Good job. Every day we speak. And sometimes when we speak, Rachel says to me, you're not listening. I say, yes, I am. I heard everything you said. And I repeat it back to her. And she's like, I know you heard it, but you didn't listen. You didn't hear my heart. You didn't hear where it was coming from. You were too focused on moving this way when I was like, hey, we need to go this way.
Teach Rachel.
Teach Rachel. You want the mic? No, you good? Here, we can share it. Sometimes God's thinking the same thing about his sons and daughters. I'm talking back to you, giving you direction, giving you guidance, giving you the next step, and you're not listening. You're not listening. And there's lots of ways that we hear God. We hear God through prayer. We hear God through his word. We hear God through worship. We hear God in those still, lonely places where we just sit at his feet. We hear God through others. Maybe you're going through something and you're only going through it by yourself and nobody knows. Bring it to the light. Share it with somebody and listen. Prayer is about changing circumstances, not ourselves. This is one of my favorites. God may never change the circumstance that you're in, but he will change you all the while. You may be going through something right now. Your circumstances may stink. He might not change them, but he's going to change you. If you stop asking the question, God, why are you doing this? And start asking the question, God, what are you doing through this? Changes you. I have a question for you. Lots of questions today. If God answered every one of your prayers, would the world around you change or would you change? Which one is it? Are you praying for things that are so much bigger and beyond you? If God answered every one of your prayers, would the world around you change or would you just get what you want? It's a real valid question. Luke 11, verse 1. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So I have a question. Why would the disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to pray? Because there was something about the way he did it. These men, these boys would have been taught how to pray. They would have learned how to pray. They would have known what to say. But they went to Jesus and said, teach us. Why? Because there was something about the way he did it. It wasn't hollow prayers. It wasn't just cliche statements. It was from a deep inner desire to spend time with his Father in heaven. So Jesus taught them. He showed them. He spoke with them. He taught them to pray like this in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. And you all, so many of you grew up with this and you know this. We're going to talk about that. Pray then like this, he says. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This prayer for me growing up was just something that was recited. It's just something you said, something you heard others say, something you were told to say as a group. But this prayer literally teaches us how to pray. And when you meet Jesus and start growing in your relationship with him, this prayer isn't just something you say. It's something you walk out, you live, and you have a desire for. This prayer changes everything. The presence of God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're to bring reverence to God in everything that we do. This statement helps us to understand how we're supposed to walk as his kids. When we start to speak to him as father, as dad, as someone that we're following and seeking after, we start to really take our position as a son or daughter. We're adopted into the family. We're not an outcast. We're not damaged goods. We're not somebody that's forgotten. We're a son or daughter that has a dad in heaven that listens and wants nothing but the best for his children. And Jesus modeled this because he only did what he saw his Father in heaven doing. That's why Jesus was elevated to the place of the highest honor. And he gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth. We need to bow to his leading, his guiding, And we need to bring reverence to him in everything that we do. Somebody asked me once, why do we end our prayers? This is how I land the plane. I always say in Jesus' name. Why do we always end that way? Why do you end that way in Jesus' name? Number one, because I want people to know this isn't me. I'm coming as an ambassador of Jesus. He's the power that I'm praying in. He's the might that I'm praying in. He's the one that I'm following, that we're following. He's the one that is constant in everything that he's ever done and ever will do. He's the one that models how we walk in the purpose of God. Think of a child. First off, Lennon, my son, he's 7 years old. Rachel always says, and sometimes she says it in a negative way, but I think it's always positive. She says, he's just like you. And it's great. He does stuff that I've only dreamed of doing. And Rachel thinks it's funny. If I would do it, I don't know. But it's an honor for me to hear your son is just like you. I want each of us to hear from God, you're just like me. The way that you love people, the way that you care for people, the way that you're moved by compassion, the way that you take action for things that are important to the kingdom of God. I want to be like my dad in heaven. I want to be like my dad in heaven. So what's the point of prayer? Listen, some of us see wrong. Some of our perspective is way off. Way, way off. And I want us to understand that when we see what he's doing, we see everything differently. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're not called to just experience heaven when we get there. We're called to experience it now. This is just heaven practice. The worship team's going to make their way up. We're going to start landing the plane here. And I will say in Jesus' name at the end of it, just so you all know that we're done. But the point of prayer is our provision is made and given to us from God. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. We're provided for by him. Nothing else. The Mon Valley Way says, work harder, do more, do this. No, trust in him that he is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he's going to do. What's the point of prayer? Power. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Listen, it's time to go to war for our families, for our friends, for our workplaces, for our schools, for our communities, for the children that are growing up in a world that we never thought would be like this. It's time to step out in power and strength. It's time to step out in confidence, knowing who you are. And some of you this whole time, you may have been like, that's not me. Maybe you're not comfortable talking with your dad in heaven because you haven't met his son. Maybe you're not confident speaking with them because you haven't met them. You haven't met Jesus. You haven't accepted what he did on the cross for you. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's one of those buts in the Bible. Again, everything changes when you accept the gift that he has for you. And when you accept the gift, you want to talk about it. You want to talk with the person that gave it to you. You want to continue to walk in the joy that that gift gave you. So listen, if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, where you have repented of your past and accepted the forgiveness of the cross and called him as Lord to your future, that means leader, that means he's the boss, let today be your day. Let today be your day. Let the heavens rejoice because you're making a decision to make a stand for Jesus and take your rightful position at the table. So if you're here today and I've been speaking to you for the last couple minutes, I just want you to slip your hand up and say, that's me. I don't have a day. I don't have a time. I don't have a place. Amen. Amen. Keep your hand up. Be proud of it. Anybody else today? You need to stand for Jesus and accept what he did for you. Anyone else? You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised later. Listen, if you're scared to raise your hand, tap your phone on that card in front of you on the seat and check. I want to know Jesus. Somebody's pointing like there's another hand. Come on. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't worry about the people in front of you, behind you, beside you. This is heaven practice. Heaven rejoices. The angels shout when one comes home. Anyone else? I love you, Anthony. You're the best. We'll clap all the time, buddy. Father God, I thank you so much for who you are and who we get to be with you. Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, everything that you're going to do. Lord, may you continue to help us to have a desire to speak to you and sit at your feet in your presence. And may your presence change us, our perspective, looking to you as Father, as provider. And may we walk with a Holy Spirit swagger, because we're not fighting for power, we're fighting from it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.